Welcome to Turn In Your Hymnal To. I'm Rex Bridges, and today we'll be looking into the background story of Fatherhood Heir of Earthly Bliss. Fatherhood Heir of Earthly Bliss, 1760. If any woman had just cause to be bitter and rebellious toward God, it was Anne Steele, 1717 to 1778. Born at Broughton, Hampshire, England, the daughter of a wealthy timber merchant and part-time Baptist preacher, William Steele, she lost her mother when she was only 3 years old. This very delicate girl, who was threatened with tuberculosis all her life, united with the church at 14. Early she began writing hymns and poems, and often entertained her friends by reading or reciting her own compositions. When she was 19, she suffered another shock when a serious injury to her hip left her practically an invalid. Much of her time was spent in her own room, and for days at a time she was confined to her bed, totally helpless. But she met a young man, Robert Elscourt, and they fell in love. When she was 21, they set the day of their wedding, but he was tragically drowned the evening before the scheduled marriage was to take place. But even his untimely death and the delicate condition of her own health did not embitter her. Like Joseph Scriven, author of What a Friend We Have in Jesus, whose fiancée also was drowned the evening before their wedding day, her sorrow only served to deepen her faith in God and strengthen her trust in Him. She poured out her grief in her hymns and poems, and the sweetness they embody is in direct contrast to the bitterness of her heartbreak. Despite the misery that life seemed to be heaping upon her and the burdens beyond her strength that she was being compelled to bear, she never forgot that God was still her Father. Like the Master, who from the agony of the cross began the first and last of his seven words with the cry, Father, Anne Steele, out of the depths of personal suffering that could neither be denied nor explained, wrote her spiritual autobiography in these majestic lines entitled, Desiring Resignation and Thankfulness. Father, what heir of earthly bliss thy sovereign will denies, accept it at thy throne of grace, let this petition rise. Give me a calm, a thankful heart, from every murmur free, the blessings of thy grace impart, and let me live to thee. This confident and cheerful disposition remained with her the rest of her life, and this faith is seen in the first lines of two other hymns of her pen, which attest to her experience of the reality of God's presence, Father of Mercies in thy word, and Dear Father to thy mercy seat. Like Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer who lived only 15 miles from her home, she never married. Since many of her hymns were the result of her own profound and moving experiences, she hesitated to share them with the public. But her family and friends prevailed upon her, and it was after she was 40 years old that she submitted some of them for publication. Even then, she did not send them in under her own name, but the pen name Theodosia. The day she mailed off her first collection of poems, her father wrote in his diary, quote, This day, Nanny sent part of her composition to London to be printed. I entreat a gracious God, who enabled and stirred her up for such a work, to direct it and bless it for the good of many. I pray God to make it useful and to keep her humble, unquote. In 1760, two little volumes appeared entitled Poems on Subjects Chiefly Devotional by Theodosia. When Addison and Steele printed some of her poems in their pioneer newspaper, The Spectator, and signed them Steele, many readers assumed that they were the writings of Sir Richard Steele, the co-editor. But he disclaimed the honor, and soon the readers learned the identity of the retiring English lady and read her lyrics with more sincere interest than before. Prior to her death, she wrote 144 hymns, 34 metrical versions of the Psalms, and 30 miscellaneous poems, all of which were published in one volume as late as 1863. Considering the number of her hymns and the frequency with which they were sung, she stands out as the leading Baptist hymn writer of the 18th century. The publication of her slender volumes encouraged other women of like talent to write, and the success of her books opened up to womankind a field of expression previously denied them. In the intervening years, Frances Havergal and Charlotte Elliott have enriched Christian hymnody and put all Christendom in their debt. But they would possibly have hesitated to offer their writings for publication had it not been for the pioneering spirit of Anne Steele. She died in the same house in which she was born in November 1778. On her tombstone in Broughton Churchyard is this inscription: "Silent the lyre, and dumb the tuneful tongue that sung on earth her great Redeemer's praise, but now in heaven she joins the angel songs in more harmonious, more exalted lays." This has been Rex Bridges, reading from Living Stories of Famous Hymns by Ernest K. Emurian. Copyright 1955 by Baker Bookhouse Company. Used by permission of Baker Bookhouse Company.